Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to come now, Lord Jesus, and anoint us, each one, Father, that's here. Anoint us to hear, anoint us to pull on the gift, anoint us to preach, to get out of the way. Each one, Lord, just when our pride, when our self and our flesh rises up, Lord, help us just to be anointed to get that out of the way, Lord Jesus, that we can hear your voice speak, Lord. I ask that you would speak, Lord. Because if it's just me talking, Lord, then we are wasting our time. But Lord, if you will come, then it's an eternal activity that we are doing tonight, Lord Jesus. So I ask you to come and meet each need. Just remember the ones that are sick, they're not feeling well physically, Lord. The mental healing, the physical, the emotional healing, whatever it is, the spiritual, Lord. Just, Lord, that when we walk here, we have a closer walk with you. This is what we ask, Lord. And it's a great thing, but Father, for you, it's just what your will is for us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles to read a little bit, we're going to read from Romans 12, where we've done the last several messages is brought. I thought I was done, this thought of our stuff, and I thought I was done, and I was starting to study something else, and last night just God brought me right back to it, so we're going to speak on this a little bit more. And see where we go. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, I just want to focus on that, the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may be seated. As you're being seated, if you'll turn to 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let me read a quote, Brother Branham said. He said, believe it. You got to believe it. Got to be something there that opens that damper, open that thing to let you in on it. What we need today is not pray for more power. You got enough power to make a new earth. What you need is faith to use that power. What you need is to control that life and live such a godly life that when you ask God anything, you know. We have confidence in God of that. We know if we keep his commandments, he'll withhold no good thing from us if we walk with him, God walking with us. Now, brother and sister, it's easy to say, yeah, that's what the Bible says, I believe the prophet. But when it comes down, how much of that do we really, really believe? I'll tell you right, from your soul, you believe it all. Your born-again soul believes every word of that. There's no doubt. But brother and sister, like we've been speaking on, it's all that stuff in between. Because here we take it, we hear it in our ears, it goes down, it filters through our spirit realm and tries to get to the soul. And that soul down there believing it is trying to push itself out so it can manifest what's in there, that I can manifest that I believe this, but it's that nasty old spirit realm where the battle is, and that's what constantly keeps us down. It keeps us from living the life we want to live. It keeps us from living the life Christ wants us to live. It's our stuff. But he said, what you need is faith to use that power. You got plenty of power. Your soul has got plenty of power, but we need faith. We need confidence. And if we are sinning and falling short and doing all this stuff, our confidence falls, brother and sister. We have condemnation. And then we come to God and say, please forgive me. But Satan can come and just hammer you so much stronger in your spirit realm, because he can just point at you and point at you. Look what you did. Look what you did. That's why it's important, brother and sister, to live a holy life, to do things pleasing to God, because if you don't, you're just giving them ammunition. Here, hit me with another bomb. Hit me with some more rockets. Do whatever you want. Knock me down. We know if we keep his commandments, he'll withhold no good thing from us if we walk with him. He'll withhold no good thing. Now, sometimes what we think is a good thing is not what he thinks is a good thing. Amen? So that doesn't mean, hey, I'm going to go, this is like going to Walmart, I'm going to get what I want. That's not the way it works. No, because when you really walk with him, you're surrendered his will. Say, God, you know what is good for me. I want what you want me to have. All right? But brother and sister, without confidence, if when we make a mistake, like Brother Branham, he lied, remember? About the tax man, that thing, and then there's a baby was sick, he went to pray for it, and the Holy Spirit said something like, said, don't you put your lying hands on that baby. Brother Branham lost his confidence of his prayer and everything else because he knew that he wasn't right with God. We have to be right with God, then we can have confidence. That's one after we come to church sometime, and the Holy Spirit comes and just washes us and cleanses us and makes us feel great. We have all kinds of confidence. We walk out of here saying, you know what, I know I'm a Christian. Problem is, we need to come to church with that same attitude instead of dragging all the mistakes we made with us. So, we want to talk tonight a little bit about lack of confidence. Sometimes we lack confidence. Sometimes we don't have confidence what God is doing in us because we keep looking at the mistakes. And, you know, we're going on and we're going on, and then we get that old besetting sin. We trip and fall, and it's like, oh. There it is again. And we repent, we get up and go on, we're going on, and we trip and fall. And we live in a kind of that, a cloudy area sometimes because, you know, we think, you know, if I ever would overcome that, then I could have faith to really go on. I've said that about different things in my life over the years. And you know what I found out? There's always another thing popping up. You overcome that, and then there's going to be something else. Well, if I can just overcome that. And then you overcome that and something else pops up. Well, if I can just overcome that, brother and sister, this old flesh is always going to have something popping up. If we keep looking at that, we're never going to have the right kind of confidence towards God, brother and sister. We are always going to make mistakes. Something happened twice. Happened yesterday and it happened today at work. I ran my mouth about something both times. As soon as I say it, it's like, Phil. And I was playing. Oh, Joe, but it was just done. It was mean-spirited. And I wasn't trying to be mean, but it came across that way. I said, why are you doing that? Why are you saying those things? And something just keeps popping up. Just shut your mouth, Phil. Well, I was just, you know, you always have an excuse. But there's always something that'll pop up. And so if I look around, you know, if I could ever quit, just, could, you know, do this, if I can, brother and sister, that ain't going to happen. You know, Brother Bram said something like this. He said, you know what, if you really had the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be running to bars, you're not going to be smoking, you're not going to be running around, you're going to be telling lies. Well, he lied. Did Brother Branham have the Holy Ghost? Was he born again? Well, he said if you are born again, you don't do those things. And Satan will take that and just whoop on us. So we lose our confidence. And then when we lose our confidence, brother and sister, we're afraid to let go. We're afraid what might manifest inside. And tonight, I'm just going to get right to my point right away. The reason that it's so hard to surrender our stuff is because sometimes we're a little bit afraid, or a lot afraid, or even terrified what's really inside. Because see, brother, sister, if you really clear out your spirit realm and your mind is completely open, whatever is in your soul is going to manifest. And if you're born again, you're going to manifest Christ. And if you're not, you're not. And that's sometimes why people can't lay down their own attempts at holiness, because we're just a little bit afraid. What if I better, you know, live a really holy life because I'm not completely convinced that I'm really born again? Because Satan constantly is hammering at me about this and getting me confused, and this happens and that happens. And if I just really let go completely. Because see, if you are born again, brother and sister, When you clear out all your mind of all that junk, Christ is going to manifest through you. And if he doesn't, all your holiness ain't going to save you. All your holiness ain't going to help, brother and sister, so you might as well just find out. Lay it down. Because now the one you still have a chance, if you find out, well, Brother Phil, I did that, and I found out I wasn't born again. Well, then you should be praising God because you find out now when you still have a chance to be born again. Let me read something here. Or the message thirst. Brother Bram said, I was thinking about the word thirst. Looked it up in the dictionary to see what it means. Webster says it's a painful desire. When you want something so bad, it becomes painful. Thirst is a natural thing. It's just simply something that God has given us to give us a desire for something. God has also given you a control tower, something that sits inside of you that controls these different desires. And this thirst, this control tower that sits in a man's heart is something God gave him to warn him of the desires that's needful for him. So now these thirsts are necessary. You get a thirst, like I just drinking water. If I don't, I get a thirst, I have to drink water. It's a natural desire. And if I don't get thirsty, I won't know to drink water. So these are good things. And it's the same thing spiritually. He said there's two different kinds of thirst. There's a thirst physically. There's a thirst also spiritually. He said, I like to read what David said. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. That is so important, brother and sister. Listen to what he said. He said, not some historical or something that happened some time ago or some tale that someone told, but for the living God, a God that's ever present. His soul thirsted for that God, not for some historical something. Brother and sister, if all we're thirsting is for the God of the prophet, what God did back there, what God's going to do, brother and sister, we're not thirsting for a living God. We got something wrong in our spirit realm, and it's clogging us up because we're not thirsting for the real God. Our thirst, brother and sister, needs to be that I want to see Christ tonight, every day. I want to see that. If we get to a point where as long as I know what Brother Branham did, if I long to know what God did through Brother Branham, if that's my thirst, if all I want to do is hear the testimonies of Brother Branham, something is wrong in my spirit realm, and because my soul isn't that way, unless it's not born again. A born-again soul is not satisfied with a historical God. A born-again soul is not satisfied with some kind of doctrines or creed or holiness or what I believe or what I can quote. The born-again soul is searching for, I want to see that quote manifest. God gives the control tower to you to give you the things that you need. Now, the control tower in you is what directs you. Listen, it's the things we need. He gives you a control tower to give you a thirst. So the things that we need, he'll say, this is what you need. Because there's so many other things trying to come and try to satisfy that thirst with other things besides that. Satan has all kinds of stuff to satisfy your thirst except by a living God. He loves it when we're religious. When we're religious, he loves it. He loves it if we can go to church and sit there and get our head full of knowledge. Full of doctrines, full of condemnation. He said, this thirst runs in on this control tower and tells you what you have need of, spiritually speaking. And you know what happens? About Thursday, that control tower said, you need to get back to church. And Sunday morning, it says, you need to get back to church. And during the times when you're not at church, it says, you know what? You need to pray, and you need to listen to some tapes, and you need to read the Bible, and you need to do this, and what it's telling you what you need. Of course, a lot of times we let that get talked out of it because there's another control tower trying to tell you something different. It ain't in the soul. Satan's got his control towers, too. It's sitting right in your mind. There's a control tower in the body that tells you the needs that you needed in your body. It's brought to you by thirst. Control tower in the soul tells you the spiritual things you have need of, something in your spirit. And you, by this, can tell what kind of a life is controlling you. See, this is where we run into problems. This is where we run lack of confidence because we have different things, different thirsts, different desires. And when you look at this, you say, by the desires you have, you can tell what life is controlling you. When you see that your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you, that's creating this desire that you have. See, there's a certain thing that you thirst for, and if you can, and it can tell you in your soul what this desire is by the nature of the thirst you have. So when you look at your soul and you say, what is the desire of my soul? That tells you what kind of nature is in there. But of course, what happens is Satan comes and brings some thirst, some desire, and see, this is what you really desire. Because this is what you did. This is what you did. So that means that must be really your desire. Well, did Brother Branham from his soul desire to lie? See, when you take the word, you just blow Satan's arguments, his evidence is right out of the water, folks, if you'll just take the word. He said, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that's in the body. The spirit desires for the things that's in the soul. Many times these war one against the other. We find there's a great trouble today that too many people try to live between those two desires. For one of them desires the things of the earth, the other the things of heaven. So this is where we run into trouble. This is where we find ourselves weakened, brother and sister, is because we want to satisfy the flesh and we want to satisfy the soul. And as long as Satan can have us living that halfway, riding the fence kind of life, he's got us whooped. He's got us whooped because he can convince us through reasoning and whatever else and affection realms and all these other things. He can convince us that, you know what, you maybe, are you sure you're born? Well, I don't think. If you were really born again, would you have that desire? Would you want to do this? Would you really? I mean, I saw what you did. And our confidence drops. This is why Jesus said, you got to serve God, you got to serve mammon. You can't serve two masters. But that's what we try to do, because if you go to some churches and some Christianity, that's exactly what they can do when they're preaching. It's okay. It's okay. You don't want to totally sell out? Don't worry about it. Rich young ruler, he came to Jesus. He said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done that from a youth. He was a good guy. He had his spirit realm in a good place. Except for one thing. That gate of affection. It was warped. There was something wrong because he said, give up everything you have and to the poor and come follow me. But he still loved one thing in the world too much. There was one thing. The rest of it was fine. He was willing to surrender everything. He would have come and followed Christ if he would have just had that one other thing ripped out of there, cleaned out. He still loved the things of the world too much. I like how Brother Jerry was preaching Sunday. He said, petty little things. Enticing spirits come and entice us with petty little things. You really don't want to give that up. You really want to, you really like this a little too much. Let me ask you this. That rich young ruler, when he died, and he died a rich man, he had all the goods he could desire. He had to build new barns to take care of all his stuff. He was popular. He was well-loved. Everyone thought the world of him. And when he died and he went to hell, do you think that wasn't a petty little thing after all? He looks at that riches he's had and said, well, I sold my life for that petty little thing? Oh, but we sell out for a lot littler than that these days. What petty little things do people sell out for today? You ain't going to preach to me like that. A little bit of pride, just a little too much pride. Well, I believe it this way. Well, I think it should be done this way. Well, I don't put your fill in the blank. Why do people turn and walk away? Well, I can't explain how this happened. Brother Brand said this here, and I can't put it together. So because my mind can't put it together, I'm going to turn away. Petty little things. Things we're not really willing to surrender. He said, truly predestinated believers stay with the word, and they won't pervert it. It can't be perverted. Oh, sons and daughters of God, Why can't we have this great fellowship that we ought to have with all the sons and daughters of God? What a question. He asked, listen, you sons and daughters of God, why can't we have the kind of fellowship we should have with the bride of Christ, with sons and daughters of God? Why can't we have it? He said, we should have it, but they just won't do it, that's all, because they're not truly sons and daughters of God from the soul. He says, not truly that, although we claim to be, many of them aren't. He said, here's the problem. That little inside of the inside, that's where you start, which is your soul. Then come from that, you're a spirit. Then you become a living being. That's your body. Now, the living being has five senses to contact, the sense, the see, taste, feel, and smell, and hear. The inside body has love and conscience, so forth, five senses. But the inside of the inside, the control tower, is either God or Satan. That's why he said there's no pretty good Christian. There's no white, black bird or whatever. It's either one or the other. You are either born again or you're not born again. And that is your control tower, the soul. Either Satan's there or God is there. It's not both. It's not half of one. It's either one or the other. So if you can recognize the desire of your soul, brother and sister, you can recognize whether or not you're born again. And quit letting Satan kick you around. But you got to be able to recognize what's coming from your soul. Because Satan will put all kinds of things in there to try to cover it up, to cloud it over so you can't tell the difference. He said, and you can mimic any of those things you contact, like the Christian. You could cast out a devil, like the Christian. If the inside control tower, the beginning, the origin, isn't of God, it'll never return to God. It had to be predestinated to begin with. You know, that's where so many, especially young people, they so strong. I know why I did. You want to serve God, but you know that fear comes up. What if I'm not predestinated? What if I'm not predestined? What if it's not for me to begin with? That is one of the stupidest arguments Satan ever kicks us around with. It's just ridiculous. And yet I know I've struggled with that. What if I'm not predestined? Well, here's the thing. If you don't surrender your life because you're afraid you might not be predestinated, I promise you, you'll go to hell. You're right. You weren't predestinated because you were afraid to trust God. You were afraid to believe. So just go ahead and sell out anyways, because if you do, then you are predestinated. It's really that simple, because you chose to serve God. That means he predestinated you. Satan will use the silliest arguments using fear to keep us from giving to surrendering. He said, you understand it? Did not Judas cast out devils? Caiaphas, the one who condemned them, put him to death. He even prophesied, but they couldn't stay with the word. The outside can reason. You take a man and say, well, I know I'm not supposed to commit adultery. Then the spirit tells me I shouldn't commit adultery. But you see, way down in there, there's still that thing in there. It kind of governs around, and you better watch it. So what? Let me keep reading. He said, when it's directed from the inside, it throws all the rest of it together. That's the guidepost. That's the control tower, the inside of the inside. The soul controls the spirit controls the body. So an outside whitewash don't make any difference. Them religious people back there that Paul called whited walls and so forth, they're outward just every way a believer. They had prophecies among them and everything else, but inside of the inside, the soul that disbelieveth. That's the reason I say people can jump up and down, speak in tongues, shout, lay hands on the sick, heal the sick and so forth by faith. Heal the sick and so forth by faith. All these great things by the Spirit and still lost. You can't go by that, brother and sister. You can do all these things from the outside. And trying to convince your soul, your spirit, trying to do all these things, convince your spirit, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. Look what I can do. I have faith to do this. I can cast out devils. I can heal the sick. I can raise the dead. I can shout. I can sing. I can feel anointed. I can preach. I can do all this stuff trying to convince my spirit. I live a holy life trying to convince my spirit. Soul in there is just still dark as night. And Let's say that your soul has been born again, but your spirit in there is trying to convince you that you're not. It's a battle, brother and sister. It's a battle, and we need to go ahead and suck it up and say, you know what? I'm in this battle for the long haul. I'm going ahead and fight this battle. And the way you do it, brother and sister, is you got to get rid of all your own stuff in your mind. Because that way, it's not your evidence, it's God's evidence if you're born again or not. Because then you're not looking at what I'm doing, you look at what God is doing. And when you can look at that and say, Satan said, you're not born again. I said, then what God, how come God used me to fulfill his word? How come God's doing this? Not just performing miracles, I'm talking about manifesting the word. That's the difference. Let me read some more. I got a lot of quotes. I don't like reading so much, but I have to read this. Greatest battle ever fought. He said, just like an old boiler with the flue stopped up. You put a fire, it'll blow your thing up. That's what's the matter with so many blowed up Christians, because they don't clean the channels out. They don't go down to the inside. You got to clean it. We try to clean from the outside. We try to use our own ability to clean from the outside. We put up this facade. We look like a good Christian. When we're trying to live a holy life, you say, well, I need to stop doing this. I need to stop doing that. I need to stop doing this. And we go around trying to clean from the outside in. And the inside, the Holy Spirit's in there trying to work, and boom, it's just not working. Because it can't manifest. And now you find yourself, I'm back at the altar praying, oh, God, deliver me from this. God, deliver me from that. Oh, help me do this. God, you know, I need to stop doing this, or I need to have this, or whatever. Trying from the outside in. Ain't gonna work. Get in on the inside and live from there out. Recognize who you really are. Brother, sister, it's a lack of confidence who we are, because the more we recognize that you are a child of God, then you can go in there and stand on faith of who you are and start pushing out. By letting God have control of everything. See, here's the thing. When we're trying to do it ourselves, we'll attack this thing, and we'll attack that thing, and we'll attack that thing. But there are some things we don't attack because we like it too much. Well, we're afraid of it. What if that moves? What if I gave that up? What could happen? You're going to go through pain and loss. But we hold on to some of these things because they're too strong, and we love them so much, and we want them, and we don't want to suffer the pain. So we hold on to things, and we've got a death grip, and when something goes wrong, we're going to get mad. We're going to get our feelings hurt. We're going to do whatever we have to do to hold on to that thing. It's called an idol. And the Holy Spirit's inside trying to manifest, and once in a while, it finally pushes through in one of our channels. You see, that's Christ. I saw that. That was Christ. But then how come it's so sporadic sometimes? How come it's not more all the time? You know, clearly all the time. How come, you know, sometimes God will do something through you, and you just know that was Christ, and you just love, and then the next day it's like, well, where'd that go? Where'd it go? Last time I was in church, I had such a good time, and now this time I'm just kind of sitting here. What happened? Why is it so sporadic? Why isn't it just a constant flowing? Because between that time and now, we let something clog up our flues, clog up our chimney, as it were. The channels where the Holy Spirit is trying to push itself out. Satan enticed us. Satan enticed us with something that we wanted to hold on to, and so we took it back, and we've clogged that thing up again. He said, you got to clean it. Conscience, memory, thoughts, laying aside everything and coming from the inside out with that unadulterated word of God. That it's the truth. No matter if 10,000 died on this side today, 10,000 died on that side tomorrow, trusting, that has nothing to do with me. I'm the individual. I'm the one that's trusting. I'm the one that believes it. It doesn't matter how many people leave the message. It doesn't matter how many preachers walk up and say, Brother Branham was wrong. That has nothing to do with you. Well, I saw that person, he claimed his healing, he died. That person claimed their healing, they died. That person claimed to be a believer, and they're on off doing crazy stuff. Has nothing to do with you. It's you are the believer. It's you and God. Clearing out that mess inside, clearing out all that junk we have. He said the devil would try to come right back. You clear it out, and the devil's right back there the next day, clogging it up again. And you clear it out, and a lot of times the preaching is what clears it out. You can leave out of here feeling that everything is just right because I'm one with God, and I just have such a sense of love and belonging and such a faith. And then 2 days later, we're so beat down again. Why? Because Satan came and enticed us, and we took that jump back. We take it back. Because it's comfortable. Because that's where we go to protect ourselves. Sister so-and-so came up, and I just always have the feeling she doesn't like me very well. So I kind of, well, I'm going to be nice to her because I'm a Christian. You just clogged up your whole spirit with that nasty attitude. What do you mean you're going to be nice to her? Who do you think you are? Well, a Christian's supposed to do this. Yeah. Good religion. Like we have a right to hold a grudge. We have a right to protect ourselves because, you know, Brother Gene, he says stuff that really hurts my feelings a lot. So when I'm around here, I'm always kind of protecting. I'm kind of keeping him at a distance because if he says something that hurts my feelings, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell him off. Well, you would think I'm supposed to shut my mouth? Who cares what I think? What does the Holy Spirit say? How are you supposed to react? Jesus gave an example. If they ripped the hair out of your beard, Brother Paul, what would you do? If they spit in your face, Sister Susie, what would you do? The devil would try to come right back. See, if he could get in there at all, he's got your army routed right then. If you got your senses, your see, taste, smell, and hear, they're all right. He's talking about your outward senses, the seeing and smelling and taste. He said, they're all right, but don't trust them unless they agree with the word. Don't even trust your outer senses unless they agree with the word. That they're all right, but if they disagree with the word, don't listen to them. Now, imagination, conscience, memories, reason, affection, they're all right if they agree with the word. But if your affection doesn't agree with the word, get rid of it. Oh, my. He said, get rid of it. If your affection doesn't agree with the word because it loves something more than you love God, it's an idol. Get rid of it. But it's my family. It's my job. It's the thing I like the most. And it's getting between you and serving God. It's not agreeing with the word. Get rid of it. Pride. We protect ourselves. We protect our pride. We don't want to be hurt. If you're conscious, anything disagrees with that, what's on the inside, get rid of it. If your memory, your imagination, memory, Satan will use memory and he will just kick us around. Will you remember when that happened? Remember what that person did to you? Remember what that person did to you? Remember what happened back there? How are you going to trust God when he's going to allow you to be in pain? How is this going to happen? Remember, 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 remember? And we just twist and turn and twist and turn on this memory wheel. And none of it is according to the word. You got to get rid of your junk, brother and sister. When that comes up, you know, I think I spoke earlier. He said, you know, that anger, you feel yourself getting angry. Someone says something that hurts your feelings. And you feel that feeling come up inside. Don't sit there and argue and fuss with that feeling. Your mind isn't going to beat your own mind. What are you going to do? You're going to just step back and let it go. Let it go. Well, that's easy to say. It is. It's hard to do. You better believe it. Especially if you've been controlled by your emotions and your feelings and your ideas and your memories and your reasoning. If you have been controlled by them, to let it go is going to kill you. And that's the whole point. Dying to yourself. And let me just say it again. The reason many people don't do it, they don't get rid of all that, especially their religion, is because they're afraid what's on the inside. What if I completely let everything go and just say, you know what, whatever's inside, let it have its way. Let me jump ahead here. Let me just get on that real quick. I have a quote for that. He's talking about, he said, God can see no sin in you as long as your confession is in Christ Jesus. Talking about how great the forgiveness is of God. And someone said, if I believed a thing like that, would I ever turn on the steam? I'd paint the town red. I'd go to every dance hall. I'd go get so drunk and everything. Someone said, you know, you're sealed away. God doesn't see anything. Well, if I believe that, I'd just go crazy. I'd do anything I wanted to do. Brother Branham said, why? Guy said, you're already secured in Christ. What difference does it make? He said, that shows you haven't got it. If the love of God ever struck your heart in the tenderness of Jesus Christ, you'd be so in love with him, the world would be dead as your sin. That's how you know you have the Holy Spirit. Not because you could scream, shout, speak with tongues or whatever else, but when sin becomes dead and you're alive in Jesus Christ. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, see? Brother, sister, that's when your nature comes out. Because if you are doing anything to try to save yourself or keep yourself, whatever, instead of surrender to Christ, you're just living in your spirit realm in a religious realm. That doesn't mean you just sit there and go like, Brother, sister, God moves on you to do things and you do it. But recognize, brother, sister, that you're not the one keeping yourself. If you're the one keeping yourself, you have failed miserably. It's God that's keeping you. See, if your conscience, anything disagrees with it, then get rid of it. He said, what you got then? You've got a solar system. God sets the stars in order and said, hang there till I call you. They stay there. Nothing's going to move them. When God can get a man in his hand till he gets his senses, conscience, everything cleaned out, until it stands with God behind it in the spirit, there's not a devil in the world can poke a doubt in there. See, brothers and sisters, that's where he wants us to be. When everything is cleaned out, our conscience, imagination, everything cleaned out, and then it's just God sitting there. He says the devil can't poke any doubt in there. He can't get you to doubt. He can't get you to disbelieve in your spirit realm. And when you get everything lined up, brother and sister, from your soul, controlling your spirit, controlling your body, then God has someone that he can manifest himself through. And brother and sister, that is the inheritance of the bride of Christ today. That is what you come to. That is what it means to be without spot or wrinkle. Because you are so in tune with Christ, he is manifesting himself. And brother Branham said, she has thus saith the Lord as she keeps still. That's what it comes to. But the thing that's holding us back is, brother and sister, is all our stuff in our mind is still got so much doubt that we're afraid to trust God. We're still afraid. The love is in there. What does it say? Perfect love casts out fear, right? The love is in there. And what God is doing, he said, love me the way I love you, and you can let this stuff go. Let it go. Why might I get hurt? There is no might. You will. Get that in your mind. Serving Christ is painful sometimes because people are going to hate you. People are going to say all manner of vile, evil things against you. Jesus didn't say, withdraw and protect yourself. He said, rejoice. This should make us rejoice. Do you rejoice when you get your feelings hurt? Not yet. But it's coming. It's coming. Well, Brother Phil, when someone says something about me, I just get mad. I just can't keep my mouth shut. Go ahead, but it's coming. You will get to that point. You will. That's exciting. All these, look at your life right now. What are the things you struggle with? You're overcome. The overcoming has come. Whether or not you claim it, or whether or not you believe it, or whatever, if you're the part of bride of Christ, it's coming. Now, you can accept the preaching, the word, and believe it and let it clean you out, or you can wait until God has to rip it out of you through experience. Chastening of the Lord can be brutal sometimes. Can rip us to pieces. But if we don't give up our old self, he's going to do what it takes. The devil comes around and says, you don't feel any better. Your conscience is even gone to that. The flue is so clear it shouts, hallelujah. The outlet blows a whistle, glory to God, it sounds out. Certainly, just as clean and clear for the word of God to work through the power of God. You claim something, God speaks to you, you're sick. He said, I'm healed from this. And when the devil comes and throws a doubt in there, you look at that and say, that's just a lie. It doesn't get you beat down. Why? Because you have confidence. You know what God is doing. See, when we keep stumbling around with our own stuff and Satan throws a doubt in there, we start reasoning with it. You know, Judas stayed all the way to the end. Man, I wonder if I'm Judas. Now you're reasoning. You're filling your own mind with junk. You're closing off the flue. You're shutting down that channel because you took that thought and start reasoning with it. You're not born again. Oh, yes, I am. Let me tell you what. Don't! Ignore that junk. Recognize who's saying it and ignore it. Because if you start reasoning and start arguing and start thinking about that, in 10 minutes, your mind is going to be such a mess. Because you took that rattlesnake started rattling and you're going to try and kill it. Ain't that the way it is? It's a rattlesnake. Oh my goodness, a rattlesnake in the path. Walk around the rattlesnake and keep going. But what we, I gotta kill that thing. Well, you're gonna get bit. Let it go. But it struck at me. It bit me. Walk away. It can't harm you. Paul, that shipwreck, right? They landed on the island, I think it was, and it was cold and raining, and they was building a fire, and he was putting wood on the fire, and a serpent came out of there and bit him on the hand. It's a very dangerous serpent, and the natives of the land there, they said, well, this man, he must be a murderer. He's a horrible person, because the sea didn't kill him, but God's still, justice is right. This serpent's going to kill him now. Paul looked at that thing, and he said, you know what? God said, I'm going to Rome. God said, I'm going to appear before Caesar. He shook that thing off. Why? Because he knew that thing couldn't kill him. He had a job to do. He wasn't finished yet. There's no fear. He just shook it off and just ignored it and kept going. Brother, sister, when you get that attitude that you know God has said, you're going in a rapture. You are going to heaven. You are going to a place where the mansion is prepared for you. There's a body that he has gone to prepare. He's even doing it now. And when something comes and bites at you, you shake that off and say, I got more on my mind than worry about that. Oh, he hurt my feelings. He said something bad about me. That's not my problem. I'm walking away from it. Why? Because I have a journey. I have faith. I see the road ahead of me. And I don't have time to mess with this rattlesnake sitting here in the path. I'm going on by it. Can you do that? Well, I don't know. Well, you will. you will let it go. You're going to get all these things cleaned out. Because this bride in this day is going to manifest Christ. Yes, she is. And I'm going to say this, more than any other group of people ever manifested Christ. Now, we've had prophets and all who manifested greater. But this bride, as a body of Christ, is going to manifest her greater than any other group of people. And you're not going to do that with your mind all cluttered with your own stuff. So we say, man, I can't wait. This world's going crazy. The world is falling apart. It's a mess out there. I can't wait for the rapture. You can't, well, then why don't you act like it? Why don't you get rid of your stuff? If you really are sick of this world, get sick of your own stuff and get rid of it. Well, what do? Just go in there and start rooting it out? No. Just as things come up, brother and sister, as your trials and temptations, whatever come up, just put it in God's hands. Say, God, I can't deal with this. It's too much for me. But you promised. It's in his hands. Let it go. God, you deal with it. This person made me mad. Here's my anger, God. Don't say, well, I don't get mad at stuff. Nothing bothers me anymore. Now you're just lying. Don't do that. Of course stuff bothers us. Stuff bothered Brother Branham all the way. You know what? Remember what happened to Brother Branham? He said he built a complex. Remember that? I'm going off into the woods and hunt, and God gives me a message. I'm going to come out. I'm preaching. I'm going to go back up in the woods and hunt. Why? Because he said, those people should have listened to me, and I built a complex against them. He got his feelings hurt. Where is that complex? In his body? In his soul? In his spirit? In his mind? And what it did, it was clogging it up. He said, now I need to go back out on the field. And he said, I can't do that till I change my attitude. I need God to do something because I still think they should have listened to me. He recognized he had a complex. He recognized it was wrong. He recognized God's going to have to deal with this because it's too much for me. I still feel this way. He said, I'm going to stay here in prayer. I don't remember how he said exactly, but I'm going to wait. You know, God needs to change me so I can go back out with the right attitude towards the people. The prophet himself built a complex, brother and sister. You think we're immune to this stuff? But what did God say? God say? He said, if you go ahead and do what you want because of your complex, you're going to end up a bum. You're going to lose your ministry. You're going to lose all this stuff. You're going to lose your family. Because if Brother Brown wouldn't have been ready to give up his stuff, willing to, God said, I'm going to take it from you, however it takes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get rid of this. He said, just as clean and clear for the word of God to work through, the power of God. That's the main thing. That's your battleground. That's the main thing. That's your battleground. It's to get everything cleaned out. It starts with your attitude. Because that is the one thing that you are responsible. You can't control is your attitude, brother and sister. You can have the right attitude. Someone makes you mad, you can have the right attitude. Someone hurts your feelings, you can have the right attitude. You feel a temptation or something coming up, you can have the right attitude. And that attitude is, this will not control me. I put it in God's hands. That's the attitude, brother and sister. Let it go into God's hands. And then don't tell him how to deal with it. Well, God, I'm really mad. This person said something, made me mad. I put in your hands, and I need you to go take care of him. No. You're the problem. But he said it. My wife said it. She made me mad. You let her. You didn't have to get mad. Well, you don't live with her. It's still your problem. When someone makes you mad and you give into that, you're allowing them to control your spirit realm. You're a slave. You're a slave to that person's whim. I can push your buttons, Brother Gene, anytime I want to and make you feel in a certain way and you react out of that. I'm controlling you. Now, someone can say something to make you mad. But see, you're not, that doesn't necessarily mean you're their slave unless you react the wrong way. Because people can do stuff to upset you, to hurt your feelings, and you can't control that. He said, well, as long as, if I get mad, no, not if you get mad, but how do you act? Because see, when we react wrong, it's because we're not, haven't brought our spirit realm in line with the word. That's what half the preaching has been around here, has been about around here, brother and sister. Brother Jerry coming and preaching the sermons he has and just shredding people, shredding our, you know, just hurting our feelings, humiliating, whatever. It's all about getting rid of all this junk in our minds. It's really simple. The concept is very simple. Get rid of your own stuff. Christ lives out through you. How much simpler can that be? The problem comes when it comes, we have to do it. Because our old flesh, our old desires, it dies hard. And you need to get to the point where you really want to be set free of it. You really need to hate it. You will need to have to, like, I really don't want this anymore. But then don't go turn around and, you know, we get to that point, but then we try to do it ourselves. I really hate this anger, so I'm going to quit being angry. Well, no, you're not. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit, brother and sister. But when you sit there and you release it to his hand and say, God, I can't control this. I have a temper that'll... Look, it happened with Brother Branham, remember? He had a temper. He tried to kill people. He tried to kill those boys. He shot at them. The gun wouldn't go off. Can you imagine? What was he, 13 or 12 or 8 or whatever? How a young kid, a murderer in his spirit realm. He was a murderer. Right then, that temper was so strong. He'd have been just a footnote in history. Some young Kentucky boy kills some of his schoolmates. My. But he lost that temper. Why? It was a work of the Holy Spirit. He said, the mind is the gate to the soul. Your mind opens up and accepts the Spirit, or it rejects the Spirit. See, it has to go through your mind to get into the soul. That's why so many times messages fall flat. Because the preacher's preaching and people start rejecting it, and that soul's in there starving to death, thirsting. I need something. And that person got a bad attitude towards the preaching, and the soldier just falls flat, never gets in there to feed the soul. So only feeds on the word. You can have little consciences, little feelings, little sensations, all these things. That has nothing to do with it. That's just little sensations and things. Well, when that preacher was preaching, I felt so good. Good. It really has nothing to do with it. What did you feel good about? When it comes to reality, your mind opens it up. Your mind either accepts it or rejects it. It's about attitude, brother and sister. We see here with a bad attitude, we are rejecting. It's really that simple. It's your mind that opens the door, closes the door, listens to your conscience, listens to your memory, listens to your affections. But when your mind closes itself to these things and let God, the Spirit of His Word, come in, it blows the rest of the stuff out. Every doubt is gone, every fear is gone, every sensation of doubt is gone, every feeling is gone. There's nothing standing there but the Word of God, and Satan cannot battle against that. When everything is gone, Satan has nothing to do. This is when you become, what's the word I'm looking for? He can't do anything with you. He's scared of it. He looks at you, I just can't do nothing with you. Why? Because it can't affect you in your mind. That's the person when you get out of bed in the morning, you put your feet on the floor, and the devils go, he's up again. Can't stand that person. Why? Because I can't control him. Don't you want to be that person? Of course we do. That's the bride's inheritance, to be a person that Satan cannot get to you. He can't control you. Oh, you're going to make mistakes. Quit thinking you're going to be a Superman or angel or something. You're going to make mistakes, but as soon as you make mistakes, you repent and you believe that you're forgiven and you keep your confidence with God. It's really that simple. People who make it, well, you need to believe this. You remember back a few years, people said, well, you need to believe this doctrine. Well, you need to believe this doctrine. Well, you need to have this revelation. Well, you need to go to this church. Well, you need to do this. Well, you need to live this holy. And you need to quit doing this. And you need to go, oh, quit it. All you need to do is get rid of your own stuff and the Holy Spirit will manifest through you and Satan can't mess with you. Let me change that. He can mess with you. He can't get you to disbelieve. He can't get you to doubt. He can't. The gates of hell can't prevail against you. Why? Because it's built on revelation. You know who you are. You know who you are. There's no more doubt. There's no more wondering. There's no more fear. All this stuff is gone. He said, these battles have raged since the days of the Garden of Eden, the battle of the human mind. Satan started it. What did he do when he met Eve? He didn't deny God's word. He whitewashed it. He stopped up some little channels here somewhere. He said, but surely God, all these things that he promised, he knew the word was right. He knew he couldn't just come out and blast it out like that, but he sugarcoated it. See, brothers and sisters, Satan's not going to come to a lot of us and say, well, the message is wrong. Now, he's done that to some people, but some of us have already got to the point where he's not going to get us with that. He just says, the message is right, yeah. God is real. He sure does. And he saves people, and there's going to be a bride, but it ain't you. It ain't you. You're too weak. You really haven't surrendered enough. You really can't give up the love of the world. You really love the world too much. You're never going to surrender completely. Maybe he just speaks to me like that, but I promise he speaks to you that some way. If he's not speaking to you, you better get praying. Because he's got you. What do you want in? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Think about it. Well, I want to have a good time, Brother Phil. You know what I was thinking today at work? I love life. God has blessed me so much, just in natural things. But if he took it all away, I'm still saved. What more could I ask for? Well, I want to run around and have fun and do a little drinking and running with some women. And oh my goodness. What will you give in exchange? You see, he comes to Eve and he say, you know what? You can go do whatever you want. You can live any kind of life you want. This is what most Christians today believe. You can believe anything you want. You can find any way to God you want. Just be a good person. Just believe in God. People, you know, they say, well, I believe in God, as if that makes them a Christian. He came to her as a message believer. He would be like, you know what, Brother Paul? There's got to be an easier way. You don't have to sit there and go to that little church in Dixon all the time. My goodness, you drive forever. You can just listen on the. I mean, you know, there's a website now. And oh, by the way, don't go on Thursday night. Because, I mean, it's the middle of the week and Phil's preaching and, I mean, who wants to hear him anyways? Go Sunday once in a while just so people know that you're there. And pay your tithe, Brother Paul. Because if you pay your tithe, you'll get blessed. See, that's how he comes to us. That kind of stuff. You fill in the blank. You know how he comes to you. You know, Jerry Bell was a really good guy. As far as a man, you couldn't find a better man than Jerry Bell. He's a good preacher, too. He He was. So why do you have to listen to someone like Brother Jerry Browning? I mean, why would you? He hurts your feelings as much as anything. He said, that's the way it is, friends. Satan tries to be hypocritical about it. He tries to show you something better, an easier way, a more sensible plan. Boy, isn't that the truth? It's more sensible just to believe, as long as you believe Brother Branham's a prophet and you believe the message, that's all you need. That's just sensible, and it's a lot easier. You wind up in hell. There's no more sensible plan than that God laid down at the beginning. His word. Hold that word. Get a grip on it. Let it get a grip on you. The battle raged when Eve opened up her mind to listen to her reasonings. That's the channel it ran down. Her reasoning. In her spirit, she reasoned. Her eyes, with sight, she saw the serpent. Listen to this. He was beautiful, handsome, far better than her own husband. He was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field, and he was probably a fairer man than her husband. He looked like a great masculine beast standing there. How great he was. And he was trying to tell her what a great thing it was. And the first thing she did, she opened up her mind when she did that. Human reasoning caught it. Why wouldn't that be a thrill? We know what he's talking about. That's how it comes to us. Wouldn't that, why do you have to do it? Wouldn't it be better to do it this way? I can give you a birdier church. I can give you a better group of people. I can give you a little bit more money. I can give you a pastor who treats you a little bit better. I can give you a wife who can do anything you want. And I can give you everything you want. Everything you want. And it's a lot easier. All this stuff about cleaning out your own stuff in your mind. Come on. We're human beings. We're supposed to have thoughts. Yeah, we are. And you think I'm supposed to sit there and let someone sass me, and I'm supposed to sit there and take it? You're crazy. I'll tell you what, I ain't afraid of nobody. I mean, no, ain't nobody going to talk to me that way. Have it your way. Have it your way. But if you're one of God's, you're going to come. Ain't that good? Here's the thing, you know, Satan comes and says, well, you're never going to completely surrender. You really can't do it. If I'm one of God's, I am. If I'm one of God's, I'm going to come to a point where I am without spot or wrinkle. And if I'm not willing to do that, I'm going to be taken from this earth, because the bride who's here for the rapture is going to be that kind of a bride. Oh, my, that's good. If you don't want to be here... I'm sorry, this just made me excited. Just come. Look, brother and sister, if you want to be here for a body change from this life without going by the grave, you're going to get rid of your junk. Yes, you are. And if you don't care about that, then keep it, because you're going to go by the way of the grave. But that bride who is alive and remaining, brother and sister, she is going to have her so in line with God that everything agrees, and she's going to come to a place where she has rapturing faith. And there's no way you get rapturing faith with your own stuff clogging up your mind. Oh, my. You want to go in the rapture? Look, you're going to go in the rapture if you're one of God's. But you want to be one of the ones who are alive and remain? You get rid of your own stuff, because that's all he's looking for. Because then he can manifest perfect love and perfect faith and get you a new body. But if you want to hold on to your own stuff, you're going to die. I mean, physically, your body is going to die, because you're not going to be here to go into rapture with your own stuff. Now that's completely fresh. I just come right now, so... Real simple. What do you want to do? I tell you what. Real quick. My goodness. Okay. bride is making herself ready. She's cleaning out the channels of her mind, unpacking her stuff. When you clear out your mind, you get rid of all your religion. All your feeble efforts to live good enough. All your pride. All the things that mean so much. Put it in God's hands. If you do all that, brother and sister, and Christ doesn't manifest himself through you, then he lied. Because when you surrender like that, God takes over. He comes into you, your soul, and he fills you. Because the only thing that keeps us from being born again at a much younger age than some of us did is because our mind kept so much doubt and fear in there that we wouldn't let that come in and pierce through that to the soul. When the Holy Spirit strikes that seed in there, it comes to life. And so if you're sitting here, you think, well, I don't know if this ever happened. Just recognize it's because your mind is still clouded up with too much doubt. It won't let it through. But God wants to save you so much more than you want to be saved. He wants to fill you with himself so much more than you want it. And there's incredible pressure. You know, we get all tore up about things and whatever. It's a pressure. Brother Jerry said sometimes, you know, when he prays for people, not that they have comfort, but that God don't let them get any comfort until God gets a hold of their life, you know. Don't let them sleep. What is it? It's that pressure that God is trying to get through that unbelief to get you to the point where I'm willing to lay it all down. This thirst is too strong. I got to have it. You know what that's like. Some people get kicked out of church. They say, fine, I ain't going back. Some people get kicked out of church and they can't stay away. It's a thirst. It's a pressure. It's something I gotta have something more. This is not working for me. God's gonna get us where he wants us to be. Not a one of our trials was just haphazard. Not a one of our trials was just like, ooh, God said, I didn't see that coming. Nope. Now, let me tell you what, a lot of our trials are because we're too hard-headed. We don't have to go through the things we go through, but because we're hard-headed, we don't surrender. God lets these things come upon us. I don't care if you're the softest headed person there is, you're still going to have trials. Jesus himself went through trials to learn obedience. Amen. God's good to us, brother and sister. You ever start feeling sorry for yourself? Just go ahead and smack yourself in the jaws and say, stop it. Amen. We have nothing to be feeling bad about. Nothing to be feeling sorry about. We have trials and going through all kinds of mess. That's not what I'm saying. You're not. Don't think, well, once I get all this done, no more trials. No. Come on. Look, the closer you get to Christ, the stronger your trials are going to be, brother and sister, because Satan is, he's a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. He is doing all he can to disrupt this from happening. He's getting to our minds so much. Why? Because he knows if he can keep us tore up in our minds, he can forestall the rapture. If he can keep us all just so we can't get all that stuff cleared out. But it's too late for him. We're going anyways. Amen. All right, let's stand. God bless you. I didn't mean to go so long tonight. God is good. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you would come and speak to us tonight. I just pray the word had the effect that you would have it had to have, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just want to see you. That's what we want to see. We thirst for a living God. I don't want to hear a doctrine. I don't want to preach a doctrine. I don't want to just be a religious person, just a good person. I want to see a living Christ. And Lord Jesus, I just pray, take each one of our minds, Lord. And when these things come up, Lord, we have our minds are just still chock full of junk, Lord. And I'm the first in line to say my mind, after all these years, it's got so much stuff, so many things that have to be rooted out, Lord. And as they come up, Lord, I just pray you help each one of us just to release it into your hands, Lord. Have your way. Lord, one of the fears and the doubts and the worries and all the things, when they come up, Lord, help us just to learn to let it go. And the more we do, the more our confidence builds. How much you love us and who we really are. Let it be, Lord Jesus. I ask this in your name. Go with us as we leave here tonight, Lord Jesus. It's going to be cold this weekend. Just keep us safe. Help us just to be able to stay warm and watch over us, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. We've seen that little chorus, God is good all the time. God is good.